Servus und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Ausgabe unseres Podcasts Make It Nice MGF. Und heute haben wir zwei der wichtigsten Menschen aus der Maristenwelt zu Gast. Die Direktorin of Marist Education, wie es offiziell heißt, und den obersten Maristen des für uns zuständigen Distrikts Westzentraleuropa. Da beide aus Irland stammen, gibt es heute die erste Podcast-Folge, in der wir uns nicht auf Deutsch unterhalten. Oder wie unsere Lehrkräfte sagen würden, in English please. A warm welcome to Aisling de Maison and PJ McGovern. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
PJ, when we look back, have you been a well-behaved student?
I probably had my moments.
You had your good moment?
Like most students. Because it's a very different time when I was a student. Way back in the 60s and 70s. 60s, actually. I went to high school in 1965 to 1970. So it was a very different world. And the relationship between student and teacher was very different from what it is today. The student was kind of more seen, you had to obey and follow instructions. Whereas today it's a very different relationship between student and teacher.
Would you like to go to school at the moment?
Yes, I think today at the moment now it would be far more exciting to go to school. Even in my time there was the threat of corporal punishment, which most students now would find abhorrent that possibility did exist at that stage. Now it was used very sparingly, but it was still a factor, and the range of subjects were limited. The methodologies of teaching were very different. And the opportunities were limited. So it was a very different world from today.
Which subjects would you like to have in the past?
Well, when I went to school, there were very little practical subjects. You know, metalwork, engineering, technology, all that world didn't exist.
Okay.
So it was very different.
Yes. Aisling, what memories do you have of your school days?
Well, I was a little bit later than PJ. I loved school. I was in a convent, a sister's school, and I'm one of seven children, so all my siblings had gone through the school. So they already knew. I had a reputation as one of the O'Malleys. But I loved it, and I loved sport, and I still remember the influence that certain teachers had on me, and the friends I had in school are still my friends. So,
but you didn't go to a Marist school, did you?
No, there were no Marist schools. My introduction to Marist schools was when I got a job in a Marist school. I didn't know anything about the Marist family. I was in a Jesus and Mary convent, a sister school, so with nuns, and it was a great experience. Yeah, and I was with my sister in school, so it was very much about family. Yeah,
that would have been my question. What was your first contact with the Marists?
Yeah, well, actually, PJ. I had worked in other secondary schools, and I went to go for a job in a school, and I was going for an interview. And while I was waiting for the interview, I actually crossed the road and decided to look at the other school across the road, which was the Marist School. And I got talking to PJ, and I asked him about the school, and I never went to the other interview because he said that they would give me a job there. So I honestly tell that story and believe it was fate. The Marist came into my life because it was meant to be, and I've been there since.
Okay. Mr. Müller, you have been the headmaster of a Marist school for a good 10 years now, and you have been a student in the Marist school, a few people know. Do you remember your first contact with the Marist network?
Yes, it was also PJ. It was right in the beginning of my job period here at Maristen Gymnasium in Furt. And it happened in America, I think you remember. And I was one of the first guests or participants in the conference of the Marist Leadership Institute to arrive in the conference center. And there was almost nobody there apart from PJ and a few others and you and myself. And we sat down in the kitchen. And we had a glass of wine, I think, and we started talking to each other. And 12 years later, almost, we are sitting here. And I can say that we are good friends right now. We have become real narrow friends. And this is not the only thing that we did together. We did the Marcelin anniversary. You took part in our Congress changes and so on and so on. So it was also PJ. And as he always says, it's all about relations. And we are keeping that relations. And therefore, I'm very happy that you are here in Fürth for a different reason. It's a Marist conference. It doesn't have directly to do with school, also with schools, but not absolutely. Good to have you here, and a warm welcome by myself also.
Thank you.
Peter, when I visited you in Dublin, we have been also sitting in the kitchen. Is that a Marist topic to sit in the kitchen and drink a glass of wine?
Well, as you know, one of the qualities that we identify as Marist is hospitality and welcome. A sense of welcome and hospitality is one of the strong values we promote. And it's interesting, I've always found new teachers coming into the school, Marist school, they sense this welcoming spirit, this welcoming that they receive. And it's something that's experienced. So there's something about, of course, around the table, which is another important Marist image from yes. our foundation. So the idea of around the table and meeting and building community, it's a fundamental value of ours.
And what would you say is the difference between the Marists and the other monastic orders? Is that the topic, to sit around the table and to be together?
Yeah, I suppose the concept of community of around the same table is a key concept where you can explore and search. I think that's probably a key concept. And there's a key concept too about respecting where everybody is on the journey, whatever journey of faith they are on, that we respect that, and we simply accompany and nurture people on that journey. But we don't tell them where they should be on the journey. We simply, as we say in some language, we are a kind of a support to people as they travel on the journey.
Okay, and I know you, I think you like to travel a little bit.
I like to travel. I suppose one of the benefits of being a Marist brother is that you have free accommodation all over the world, because anywhere you go, you can get accommodation, and it's free accommodation. So there's probably some places in the world I would never have seen only for my Marist connections.
And wherever you travel, there are Marists?
There are Marists practically everywhere you go. I mean, we have schools and projects in over 80 countries in the world. So it's a... And I think what I find very attractive about it is it's a very international organization. It's not insular or inward looking. It's very much international. And I feed off that. I find that very fulfilling and gives me great energy.
Aisling, how do you experience the Marists?
I think very much what PJ said about respecting everybody where they're at. And I remember being a teacher and going to the L'Hermitage, the foundation where the founder of the Marist, Marcelin Champagne, was from. And I remember hearing that it doesn't matter where you are on the journey, you're accepted. And there was no judgment about not having, not being religious enough or not being deep enough in your spirituality. You were accepted. And that's, for me, is the most important thing. When we bring people to L'Hermitage every year from schools all across the district, for gatherings, and they always say, "Well, I'm not that religious." It's like that's not what it's about. It's about the values in the school. We're teaching in a Marist way, loving children, caring about them, and everybody is invited. And that sense of no judgment, and you experience it when you meet Marist brothers as well, a sense of humility that everybody's at the same level, there's no hierarchy, we're all one around the table, and there's a seat for everybody at that table. And that, I think, is the most important thing for me.
That's my experience too.
Yeah.
When I've been in Hermitage or in Dublin with PJ. Mr. Müller, what was the first thing you thought when you heard you have to work with a monastic order?
Well, as I'm open-minded and a modern person, and I experienced the modern and open to the world education at Maristengymnasium in Fürstenzell, which is a father's school, not a brother's school, with little differences, if there are differences at all. That was something that I was interested in and that I was looking forward to. And what you two said is actually, I hope it is, the DNA of this school too. Of course, there's the hierarchy that there has to be a headmaster or a principal and there have to be certain functions. But this is about it then. And I would also say that this is the typical item of our school, that we approach each other as persons and as characters, and that we are a tolerant Catholic school that is open to the world. And I can confirm what you two said. One story, a short story, maybe. After that conference in Baltimore where we got to know each other, I wanted to go to New York City because I was a student in the U.S. That's a different story. And I said to myself, well, if I'm in the U.S., I want to go to New York. And one brother, John Klein, which we like very much, all of us, I know, said to me, you don't sleep in a hotel, you stay at the Marist house. And he gave me an address, and he said, whenever I come there, I think it was 2 days later, and if nobody's here, I should look under the doormat, and there will be a key and post-its for my room. I found that a little bit crazy in the beginning, to be honest. And there was nobody there. I went to New York City with the Amtrak, and I found a key under the doormat, and I found post-its that led me to my room, and the Marist came a little bit later, and then we were sitting around the table. A Mexican brother was making dinner. I was given the honor to speak the prayer, and then with Brother Cherry, I went to a hamburger restaurant the other day, and you were welcome as a person, although nobody knew me, to be honest, but we were a community right from the beginning, and that is the spirit that we also want to promote here at our school.
PJ, you talk often about, and Mr. Müller said it before, it's all about relations. Do you mean exactly that thing?
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely fundamental. Because I think you have to promote the dignity of every person. And I think every person has to feel that they're important, that they have a contribution to make. And I think so that is why it's about, we have a value, we call it presence. And the key in that value, Marist value of presence, is the quality of the relationships we have with everybody. That is, and that we work on that and developing that key quality of presence and relationships. And you may have difference of opinion and all that, but that doesn't make any difference. The quality of the presence that you have with one another is the key factor.
Okay. I experienced the Marist Network myself in Guatemala a few years ago. Is that one of the big secrets of the Marist, Aisling?
That there is trips to Guatemala?
No, that we have relationships to each other and meet again and so on.
Yeah, this event you're talking about, the International Youth Marist Youth Event, it's an amazing opportunity for young people from all around the world that probably have been involved in lots of Marist events in school to continue that and then to experience cultures and other young people across the world. So that's just one example, and that happens for our teachers, that happens for the leaders, and we hope to give that opportunity and more now that the network is actually developing into a global network.
Okay, Mr. Müller, you have been with the Marist, for example, in New York and Spain. What did you each bring with you from there?
New friends, not themselves with me to home, but I brought home new friendships, new connections. I just got to know a former principal of a French school that I got to know a few minutes ago, then an Irish teacher working at Moyle Park College that I talked to for a few minutes today. And this is something that we're going to take further onto our journey, as PJ says. And I've already learned that our Marist coordinator, Mrs. Huber, has made contacts with young teachers from Ireland and other countries. So this is growing, and the friendships are growing, and the relationships are developing. And that is important. And this is also important for our students. And there will be a common journey of the 11th grade to the place of the foundation of the order in the Hermitage this year. And as you may know, we're starting these Marist activities from grade 5 on with the Marist Day. And in the end, everybody should know what it is to be a Marist, what the Marist values are, and they should know why there is a sign on the school outside that says Maristengymnasium.
Ashley, when you hear that we want to bring all of our students to Hermitage once in the school time, what do you think about it?
I was so excited when I heard. Katerina came on our last pilgrimage to see Hermitage, and we talked about it. And it's a great opportunity. Like, just the fact that they see that they belong. This is the family. This is where it came from. These are where the Marist values that are spoken about in the school that they're learning about. This is where they came from and why they came. So they get an opportunity to follow those footsteps and learn about Marceline's family, but also think about their impact on their family and where their position is. And they belong in the Marist family, they belong in their family. So it's really exciting that they get to have that opportunity, because it had a huge impact on me. And this weekend, this event, most people spoke about the greatest impact in their life was when once they visited L'Hermitage. And they had the moment to stop and think. So I'm excited for what it's going to bring to them.
Yes, I've been there by myself, and it was very impressive. Mm. PJ, for those who haven't been in Hermitage, how would you describe the place of the foundation and the area around it?
I suppose it's a very kind of rural area. I suppose it's a bit like Fort in that sense. It's a very rural area. I suppose the first reaction is, you know, the building was built by hand at the way back, you know, in the 1800s. The work that it took to do that, the craftsmanship involved, when they didn't have, you know, the benefit of what we have today to do that kind of work. Just the commitment. And I suppose there's a few things stand out from you. The commitment that was involved in that, they had a vision, which is a kind of a key thing I think we all need to have in life, you know, that we want to achieve something. I think it's a fundamental concept for all of us. If you have a sense that you want to get somewhere, you want to achieve something, I think then you'll and that you want to make a contribution to life at some level. That's kind of, I suppose, that struck me. And then, of course, the other thing that struck me very strongly is this whole concept of family and all that. And also, I think, I suppose, the Mary piece for us, it comes across very strong in L'Hermitage. And Mary, I find Mary, and particularly for people who may not be religious or who may have difficulty dealing with religious topics or religious concepts, I find that Mary, as a mother, as a person who struggled herself very much with faith and with meaning in life, there's something about, you find, well, if God isn't really part of my life, or I don't know where he exists or whether he doesn't, it's a good place to start and to get some sense of meaning, that there's something in meaning, there's something beyond ourselves. I think the Hermitage gives you that. And I have found bringing teachers there over 15 years at this stage, no matter where they are on this God journey or not on it, there's something that they're inspired by visiting the place, and they go away enriched. And I might call it spirituality, and they might just call it gives a sense of meaning to them. But it's the same thing. And I think, you know, when I say to somebody, if you want to start on the Marist journey, go to L'Hermitage and start there, and you'll stay on the journey.
For me, it was the table. Yeah. What is the most impressive place for you in Hermitage?
Well, I suppose there's two places. There's Champagne's room. Every time I go back to L'Hermitage, I spend time in Champagne's room, and I get re-energized there. So that's probably one key place. And then the Lavalle table is, you know, which is, it's the ultimate symbol for us of gathered together around the table. I suppose they're the two places that stand out for me in L'Hermitage.
Aisling, how is it for you to work with a monastic order?
I suppose I've never really thought about it like that before.
Good question, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's always kind of been my family. You know, I entered a school as a teacher, just starting a school and thinking about my job. but it became my family. And then very much got involved. You know, my life was just as important as the school life. And if something happened to me, they were there to support me, just as I was there to support my colleagues and teachers. So it's very much a family. And the brothers are, yeah, the brothers are my family. So it's wonderful. It opens me up to the world. I have friends all around the world. Like Christoph said, I have friends all around the world because of the Marist Order. When brothers come from Australia, for example, to run courses, they stay with me and my family for a week before, and we'll go hiking and talking, and they know my children, and it's part of my life. So it's a monastic order. I am part of it.
Yes, I know, because I'm invited to a Honduras marriage next year.
Ah.
I met the guy in Guatemala, and he invited me to the marriage next year. I hope it would be okay to go to there. Mr. Müller, you often quote the Marist values in your speeches. Which one do you identify with the most?
With all of them. As Peter said, presence is very important. As a person, as a teacher, as a headmaster, being there for one another. Then the love of work is also very important. We all know that we don't love our job every day on the same level, but there should be a kind of basic condition in yourself that you love your job, that you like the job, and you get meaning out of it. I've always a theological problem with In the Way of Mary, because this is a little hard for a normal person as far as I'm concerned. But a few weeks ago, I was in Augsburg with my wife and dear friends, and they showed us some churches in Augsburg. And in one of the churches, there was a picture of Mary getting rid of knots in a cloth and solving those knots. And this is a image of Mary that I can follow and that speaks to me. Because if she helps us solving problems in our lives, solving knots in our lives, then this is the way of Mary that I can imagine for myself. And if we can, as a school family, contribute to the fact that problems that students and families have are solved, that their knots are solved in any way, then we have done our job quite properly. Do you want to know all five values?
No. just your favorite one, but when you say you have not a favorite
one. Well, all of them are very important. And as you two also said, this is a theology or Catholic belief on a very basic humane level. And this is what speaks to the people.
Peter, we have the Marist values, and you talked about Marceline's room before. What can we learn from Marceline Champagnat?
Well, I think the first thing, I suppose, probably people don't realize that Marceline himself had difficulties in school. He actually left school for a while because he didn't get he wasn't very happy. But it was kind of a very strict, I would say, kind of domineering environment, and he wasn't happy with it. And his mother had to kind of coax him to go back to school. So I find for students who might find school difficult and at times, that Marston can be a model, because he actually did find school difficult, and he struggled with it, and with the support of his mother and father, you know, he got back to school, and from there, you know, look what happened. A whole worldwide organization was formed. And I would say very few people back when he was a student, whatever, said, this guy is going anywhere or he's going to achieve anything. So, you know, when you are in school like that, and you mightn't see the bigger picture, but I think it's probably no harm to kind of see Marceline as a model for such a guy who struggled with school, and look what he achieved. Therefore, if I'm a student or a teacher, look what I can achieve.
Okay, and Aisling, what from Marceline can we bring in our Marist schools?
I think the style of teaching is really about loving each. There's a Marist phrase that we love each student, and we love all of the student. We get to know them, who they are, Marcelin, PJ talked about the building of the house, and he built with nothing. They worked so hard, and he knew his brothers so well. They ate together, they lived together. And when you really go on this story, you know how present he was to each person there, and that's so important in our schools. It's a home. That Amaris School is really a home, somewhere the students feel safe, somewhere they feel that people are present with them, say hello to them, know and care about what's going on in their life, and believe in them. Marceline's mother never gave up. The Mary piece is definitely there. She fought for her son no matter. It was difficult for him, but she didn't give up. I identify so much with that as a mother. And each of us have a role in a school to fight for the students and to help them believe in themselves, so that they'll do the same for the next person.
Mr. Müller, Aisling talked about that the students need a home at school. What do you think? What is a home for students in a school?
Well, as you know, we have many hashtags at that school. And one is hashtag Schulfamilie MGF, so hashtag Schulfamilie MGF. So, of course, we are a big school family. This school has about 1,000 students and 80 staff. But we try to be a family, a big family. We do a lot of things together. There are excursions. There's the Marist Christmas party where everybody can take part. Also the families. So this is not only a holy mass for staff and students, but also for grandparents and aunts and all friends of the students. There are many activities taking care of young children, promote them into their classes or integrate them into their classes. There's the Marist Day, where they get to know the values of Holy Marceline and so on. And in the end, it always turns out to be the relation between persons. And it's the relations amongst the students, and it's the relations between the students and the teachers. And you have to constantly work on these relations, of course, even harder if you have such a big school family as we have ours with about 1,000 students, which is a challenge, to be honest.
And what kind of schools do you experience around the world, PJ?
Well, I suppose I've had an opportunity to visit schools in many different continents. I've been to Australia, where we've over 50 Marist schools. And they have a very rich tradition. And then you contrast that with last November I visited Mexico City. And you see the two sides of society, you know, poverty and rich, and you visit, you know, Marist schools who are catering for those who are in poor environments, poor suburbs. So you have a range of different schools in different continents. I suppose the key thing is they try to address the needs in the local area, whatever that is. But the needs vary, you know. They may on the surface appear to be rich, but there may be other areas where they're not so rich. And then in the other end of things, then in the areas where you know, there's poverty and all that, they bring a richness as well. But I'm looking forward to this Global Marist School Initiative, because I think it's going to allow the variety of different schools to interact with one another on the Marist globe, and to get to know one another and to support one another and a sense of belonging. Because the one thing we all crave for is belonging to something, belong to something. I mean, family is ultimately about belonging. And I think the big attraction I find is that people want to belong to something actually bigger than themselves. And I think the Marist piece allows people to do that.
Aisling, the Marists empower young people too. What's behind it?
What do they empower people to?
Yes, Marists empower young people.
Marists empower young people to believe in themselves. So Marist is Mary, and through Mary to Christ, so Mary and Christ. So to believe in themselves and to know that they are loved and believed in. So ultimately it's about love. Each of the Marist values are are aiming, like PJ said, are aiming to help students know that they belong. And a school like this, that this is their family, they come into the school, it's a home, their classroom, they are part of that community, they contribute to it and to believe in themselves.
And we have the CMI program. Is that an attempt to make the world better? Or have a small piece to make the world better?
Yes, definitely. There are many solidarity projects. So the CMI allows, the CMI Deutschland allows German students to an opportunity to go to solidarity projects around the world and help out. And it's as much for the project and as it is for the students themselves. We have many German students who have gone to the 3-6 program in South Africa, which is a school in South Africa that when they close the doors at 3 o'clock, it is then another school from 3-6 for refugee students who are taught by refugees. And many of the CMI students go there every year. And they learn a lot about themselves and they learn a lot about who they are from that experience. So there's give and they get back.
PJ Aeschling said the young can learn a lot. What can we learn from working with young people?
I suppose I think young people can give some of us who maybe are a bit older, I think give us inspiration. I think the one thing I find great about young people is they have dreams. They have dreams. And I think sometimes I like to hear young people because it re-energizes me in the sense of keeping that dream alive, that you can make the world a better place. You can make a contribution, no matter what you have, no matter what your talents or gifts are. I think I need to constantly renew that dream. And I think young people, I've been with young people, allow me to do that and encourage me to do that and give me the opportunity to do that.
It's all about relations. Why should young people go out into the world, Mr. Muller, for example, the Marist world?
Well, because the world is interesting. And as PJ said, young people have visions, they are curious. They have dreams, and we as a school or we as Marist schools, we support them that this is possible in their lives, that they can realize themselves. The Gravissimum Educationis that I quote quite often says it's about personalization and it's about socialization, what you can contribute to the well-being of your society and your community. And I think that these two items belong together very narrowly. And this is what we should tell young people. Go out in the world and do whatever you want to make your own life better, to prosper, but also take into account what you can contribute to the lives of others. And I think this is a kind of mission that not only Marist schools should have, but all schools, I think.
And Aeschling, the Irish girl is living in France at the moment. What do you miss about your home?
I'm there quite often. thankfully, with my role that I still get to work with the three Marist schools in Ireland that we have. I love France. My husband's French. I live in Annecy and it's beautiful. I learned many new things from traveling. I didn't know how to ski before, and that's a permanent part of my life now.
I've seen on Instagram, you started to skiing now.
Skiing in mountains, and I'm from the west coast of Ireland, and the weather doesn't always allow for the kind of activities that I do now, and my life now is outside. And I love the mountains. I love hiking. I love skiing. I always miss home, though. There's something special about interactions with Irish people. And when I step back into the country and feel that warmth, it's special.
And PJ, other than Ireland, where would you want to live? Is there a culture you strongly identify with? The Bavarian one.
Yeah, that's well, I have very good I've had very good experiences in Bavaria, and I like the beer. And I have very good friends in Bavaria. German people like visiting Ireland as well. I think they find it attractive. Maybe they like the Guinness as well. Maybe that's part of the reason, and the hospitality. I like the Australian culture. I think it's. I like it. It's it's and it I suppose I like a culture which is welcoming and that kind of takes in all cultures and all kind of different peoples of opinion or whatever. So, but Australia, Bavaria, of course, and now I'm here and I enjoy it and I have good friends here, but I wouldn't mind a little while in Australia. You know.
Yeah. Yes, why Australia?
Pardon?
Why would you prefer Australia too?
I don't make me make a choice between Bavaria and Australia.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay, Peter.
Why Australia? I think it's a rich. It's the only thing I find about it sometimes it can be quite expensive. But of course, I have free accommodation and given my role. But they're very open people. They're very open. We find in relation to the Maris world that there are a lot of ideas about how to develop Maris life and diverse Maris values. I find the Australian culture are way ahead of us in Europe. And I find that attractive. I find that attractive.
Okay. Aisling, it's time to advertise. You told me that there's going to be a global Marist run. What can you tell us about it?
Yes, there's... So we've mentioned there's actually a network, a Champagne Global Network. And this was set up so that we could bring the 600 schools. So you mentioned are in over 80 countries, 600 schools, and connect them together. And next week, we're launching the Champagne Global campaign, a Champagne Global Week. One of the events that's on is the Global Run. So I'm organizing with a colleague in Mexico, and it's giving an opportunity for schools to run as a family, and they choose where they would like to run to. So from Forth here, you could choose that you would like to run to Moyle Park in Dublin. You calculate the kilometers, and as a team in the school, you run that distance and you calculate it. And virtually, when you arrive at that distance, there is a special virtual welcome for you from that school. And this will continuously happen all around the Global Champagne Network and all around the school. So we're very excited to see the welcome and gifts and different receptions that people are given and how people virtually calculate and do this team running. So I'm excited for it.
That sounds good. Peter, will you take part?
Yeah, I think of course I will. I'll walk rather than run, maybe.
It's okay too. The last question for you both. Is there anything you would like to tell our listeners for the future, Aisling?
Yes, well, the first thing that comes to my mind is that the future is very exciting for the students in Marist Gymnasium Forth, that there's such a big Marist world for them to explore. There's so many opportunities in terms of programs and events that they could get involved in if they connect in with Marist education. And no matter where they travel in the world, there's always Marist families that are there to welcome them. And they just have to ask, and we're there to make that happen.
And you, PJ?
Well, the main message I would have for the staff and the students here is I think they should have a sense of gratitude and thanks, because I've been around the school and I've seen it, and the facilities that are here, and the you know, all the various programs that this school runs in so many different levels. I think the students and staff of this school, I think a sense of gratitude, because sometimes when you're supposed to live in a place, you don't always appreciate maybe what you have. And from my experience, and I've travelled widely across the world, various schools everywhere, I think Fürth is up at the top. And I think I'd like people just to acknowledge, I just want to acknowledge that today, and I'm not just saying that for the sake of saying it. I mean it. It is genuine, and I think it's good. It's good that people who work here and who are students here that they hear that from somebody come from outside, and that maybe they appreciate it themselves.
Yes, that's right. Thank you both for being here, and that was our first podcast in English. Make it nice, MGF. Thanks for being here, Aisling. de Maison und PJ McGovern. Und vielen Dank auch fürs Zuhören und Zuschauen auf YouTube, allen, die da draußen jetzt gerade dran sind. Wir hören uns bald wieder mit einer neuen Ausgabe. Und wer Vorschläge hat, mit wem wir uns denn auf Englisch, also Spanisch und Italienisch kriegen wir nicht hin, Herr Müller, aber mit wem wir uns vielleicht unterhalten sollten für unseren Podcast, meldet sich einfach im Direktorat bei mir im Büro der erweiterten Schulleitung. Und dann hören wir uns wieder bei Make It Nice MGF. Schönen Nachmittag, schönen Abend.